Certainly appreciate an interest in your prayers tonight as we go to the Word of God. We appreciate the wonderful message that's just been preached about encouragement, and that we ought to keep always in our mind that Jesus Christ is indeed on His throne. Brother Mike mentioned several times in his message about the peril of forgetting. The peril of forgetting. If you would open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'd like to read the first two verses with you, if you would read along with me. We read, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Now, what I want you to get from that is that the message to us is that there is a great peril in forgetting the Word of God. If you go back with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, this is at the very end of the period of the kings, the last king being Zedekiah. And during the reign of Zedekiah, Israel, or Judah as it was at that time, was under the sovereign control of the Babylonian nation. They continued to rebel against the Babylonian authority over them, but the Babylonians had authority over them because they had disobeyed God. They had gone after idols. They had departed from God. They had forgotten from which cometh their blessings. And so ministers were sent to them. They rejected the message that the ministers delivered to them. They did harm to the ministers. And finally the Lord says, that is enough. So then the Lord sent King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army in, and they utterly destroyed Jerusalem. And there are those who did not die by the sword. They were taken away into captivity into Babylon. Now, as they were being taken away, Jeremiah was the own same prophet at that time. Jeremiah told them something that they forgot. There is a peril in forgetting the Word of God. I am so thankful that the Lord would allow me to be among the people called Primitive Baptist. Amen. God has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and family. He has a people in the whole variety of religious orders. But I believe that God has given the precious body known as Primitive Baptist the true Word of God. And we ought to rejoice in that word and never let it slip. All right. So Jeremiah told them in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse number 21. He says, "To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70. That's 70 years. So the message to the children of Israel is that this land is going to enjoy her Sabbaths, 70 years. You're going to remain in Babylon for 70 years. They knew that. They were told that. But remember, our message is the peril of forgetting the Word of God. God had told them, you brought this on yourself, and I'm going to chasten you for 70 years. You're going to be held in captivity. But He told them, when you get there, you build houses, you carry on with your families, you continue to worship while you're there, and you be prepared because this 70 years is coming to an end. All right, if you go with me to Psalm number 137. 137. This psalm is written about the time that they were in Babylon. In Psalm 137, This is the cry from those in Babylon because they had forgotten the word of God. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. This is not to sit down as the Lord sat on the right-hand throne of God in symbolizing the finished work. Here they sat down because they were discouraged. And the reason that they were discouraged is they had forgotten the word of God. There we sat down, yea, we wept. They wept because they had forgotten the word of God. When we remembered Zion, they remembered Zion, but they didn't remember the word of God. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. A total broken heart, fear, anguish, discouragement, lack of hope. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth or joy, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Their response was, how shall we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? They says, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem. They remembered Jerusalem, but they forgot the word of God. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. They remembered Jerusalem, but they had forgotten the word of God. Now, if you would turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, I'd like for you to go with me first to verse number 11. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 11. I'd encourage you to follow me along as we go through this. This is the account of the valley of the dry bones. And for the sake of time, I just want to make a statement here to clarify one thing. This chapter does not deal with spiritual birth. Does not deal with regeneration, being born again. Can I say that right now? And I'll show you as we go through this. So what does it deal with? Now remember, our subject is concerning those who forget the word of God. What had God promised them? At the end of 70 years, they would return to Jerusalem. Well, in verse number 11, then said he unto me, that's the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, this is what they are saying of themselves. Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. Why was their hope lost? Tell me. They had forgotten the word of God. One of the perils of forgetting the word of God is utter discouragement. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. They were totally cast down and discouraged because they had forgotten the word of God. Go back with me to verse number 1 now. Now, there's a strong indication that not only the people were discouraged, but Ezekiel was discouraged too. Now watch this. And put yourself in this scene. This is a vision that Ezekiel saw. You will benefit from this better if you will see this scene as it's recorded here. You know what a word picture is, right? A word picture is a description of something that paints a picture in your mind. Anyone ever read the old novels by Louis L'Amour? If you I want to see your hands. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Not many. I'm not so old that nobody remembers. Louis L'Amour was a Western writer. And he said one time that if he described a valley in one of his novels, that he was actually in that valley. He could see the brooks coming down the side of the hill, running through the center of the valley. He could see the little green meadows, and he described it in such a way, as you were reading that book, you could feel yourself to be standing there at the head of that valley, seeing that great scene before you. He could write so much, and write so well, and describe the scene so well, that sometimes I would want him to hurry up and get through the description so I could find out what happened to the bad guy. Ezekiel writes this so that you can see yourself in this valley full of dry bones. Now, why? I've already read to you. Why is it called the Valley of Dry Bones? It is because these people, they call themselves that. They were so discouraged that they saw themselves as dried bones, having no life, no hope, no promise of tomorrow, nothing better ahead of them. Have you ever seen a time like that in your life? I've been there, by the way. I have been in that spot where I thought, this is it. There's no reason to continue on. Life and its joy has passed me. I'm totally discouraged. That's where these people were. And the reason that they were in that condition, the reason that I was in my condition, is because why? I had forgotten the Word of God. So Ezekiel writes, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." That's the first good indication, isn't it? The hand of the Lord is upon me. That means something is about to happen. When the hand of the Lord is upon you, something is about to happen. He says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones." Now, can you see that? Can you see yourself sitting in that valley in these dried bones all around you? Now remember, don't forget, what are these bones? These bones are the whole house of Israel. They see themselves as dried bones because they have no hope. They are totally discouraged. And why are they discouraged? Because they had forgotten the Word of God. Can you see yourself there? Can you look around and see those dried bones all around you? I preached at a church one time. I got there, and I mean to tell you, that was the most doleful place I believe I have ever been in. I mean, people, sir, don't tell where it was now. I mean, there was just sadness and anguish on everyone's face. I looked out, I preached my heart out. And when I got through, I looked out there, and those faces were just as long as they. Later on, I found out that the folks on this side didn't talk to the folks on this side. And the folks on this side wouldn't talk to the folks on that side. You know why all that was? It's because they had forgotten the Word of God. All right. Can you see yourself in that valley of bones? What a doleful scene it is. Nothing but discouragement and lack of hope. He says, "And caused me to pass by them round about." That means God caused him to go around there. So he could see that this was a very large valley full of very many dry bones. So that he could get a full perspective of the scene. Just how low these people were. "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." That means they were in very bad shape. They were very badly discouraged because they had forgotten the Word of God. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" So if God were to show you that scene, and you look out there and you see nothing but sad, cast down, and discouraged faces, and the Lord were to say, "Can there ever be happiness in this place again?" Well, Ezekiel looked at that, and through the Spirit he turned back to the Lord. He says, "Oh Lord, thou knowest." That's the way of getting out of it, isn't it? And it don't look very promising to me, Lord. I mean, they're so low, they're so far from the Word of God, it just doesn't look very promising to me. So the point is, these people thought they were dry bones, and Ezekiel thought they were in such a low estate that there was no hope for them either. That's a bad place for a preacher to be in. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. You know what my response would have probably been? Why? What good will it do? But the point is, from their view and from God's view, they were God's bones. No matter how low you may get, you are the children of God, and preachers better never forget it. He says again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. The word prophesy in this context literally means to preach. To take the word that God gives you and you preach it under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. That's what that word prophesy means in this context. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now remember, this is not about spiritual regeneration. It's not about being born again. These people understood the condition that they were in, and they were under in that condition because they had what? Forgotten the word of God. So what does he tell this preacher to do? He says, you say unto them, oh, you dry bones, hear the what? Hear the word of the Lord. The word that you've forgotten, that you've walked away and left. He says, you hear that word. Thus saith the Lord God into these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you're born again, you're born spiritually. But there's time when even born again children of God can get so low that you have no hope. I assure you, the children of God can get in that condition. But just like Ezekiel found in this valley, that you cannot get so low but what God cannot breathe life into you again. Now, he says, and I will lay sin upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. What have they forgotten? That I am the Lord, and I, God, have promised you that you're only going to be there 70 years, and you're going home. I like to remember that my God has promised me that we are going home. Now he says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I believe Ezekiel put that in there to let us know that he had doubts. I did what I was told to do. I didn't think it would work. I didn't see much hope in it. They were in such bad shape that I thought I was a waste of time. I'd rather been sitting over there in the palm tree sipping iced tea. But just because God commanded me to do it, I did it. And sometimes we go out and do the word of God, the will of God, the commandments of God, simply because he said do it. Amen? If he says do it, what ought we to do? Be careful. Now let me ask that question again. If he says do it, what ought we to do? All right. You might remember what Hebrews 10 and 25 says. I will help you, brethren, out. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. We'll leave that right there. That's one of them rabbits, okay? We just let the rabbit run for right now. Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. That's a wonderful thing. When you look out and people are cast down, totally discouraged, you begin to preach the word of God, remind them of the word, and there begins to be some noise out there. Somebody over in the corner said, amen. And that lit old Ezekiel's fire. He says, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, and bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin was covered them over above. There was no breath in them. He said, there was still more preaching to do. You know, the preaching of the gospel don't just stop at one time, does it? I mean, we ought to meet together as often as we can. If the church opens on Sunday morning at 10:30, we ought to be in our seats at 10:30 ready to hear the word, because if we don't hear it often, we are going to forget it, I guarantee you. Amen? Amen. All right. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded. There again, Ezekiel said, God said, do it, and so I did it. And amen. If God says do it, we ought to do it just like God said to do it. All right. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, then he explains what the issue was. Then he said unto me, son of man, see these bones? These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we're cut off for our parts. I mean, we're totally ruined. How many times have the newscasters painted a picture that we're totally ruined? I've even had old Baptist preachers tell me that the best days of the primitive Baptist are past. I've sat across the counseling table with folks who said, I don't think that this problem can get resolved. The problem is, when we're in that state of mind, we have forgotten the Word of God. All right? Then he says, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people. One of the things that we forget, that we belong to the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you refer to the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what you're saying? When you call the Lord your Lord, do you know what you're saying? When you call Him your Lord, you're saying that He owns me. He bought me. I belong to Him. He's in charge of me. And what He commands me to do, I will do. When you call Him Lord Jesus, you're saying that He is salvation, that Jehovah is salvation. And you're saying that the Lord that owns me saved me from my sins. When you say Lord Jesus Christ, you're saying that He's the Messiah, the anointed of God, that God the Father sent Him in this world to give His life, to pay my sin debt, and one day He's going to raise me from the dead. So call Him Lord Jesus Christ and mean it. He says, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. You says, you think you're dead. You think there's no hope. And sometimes we as a people can get so low that we think that we are as dead as those in the graveyard. He said, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Just like Jeremiah told them that they would do, that God would do 70 years after they had left the country. And then he says, and you shall know that I am the Lord. It's imperative that we never forget that the Lord is our God. Now, we'll stop there for time. And I want you to go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. The Lord is speaking here in a mighty way. And He's making a commitment to us. John chapter 6, the Lord is speaking in verse number 37. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast him out. Now you hear that? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That means you belong to Him. Now goes what He says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that has sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Do you believe that this morning? Alright? Do you believe that you belong to Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe that you were dead in trespasses and in sin? That God the Father sent His Son into this world. By the way, it was His only begotten Son that He loved. He says He was pleased in Him. Do you believe that God sent that Son and He suffered His death on the cross? Do you remember when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? And those who heard them, those brethren preaching, were amazed at what they said. And he said to them, "This is the Christ whom ye have crucified." How did they crucify him? Let me ask you this question. Did you crucify him? If you didn't, you will have no part with him. Never forget the word of God that it was your sins that crucified the Master. Because when Jesus Christ was about to enter this world, the angel appeared to Joseph, Mary's husband, spouse husband, and said to her, said to him, "Call his name Jesus, because for he shall save his people from their sins." In John chapter 19, this same Jesus Christ, after 33 and a half years, says, "It is finished." And what he had finished? He had saved you from your sins. Now, we must never forget that. We keep that ever present in our mind when we know we have a friend, a great friend, that sticketh closer than a brother. We know that we have a friend that will never forsake us and never leave us alone. We know that we have a friend that in our darkest and most doleful hours of this life, we have a mighty friend. We have a friend so powerful that when the waters or the storms of life are raging, when those storms are raging, that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, can come upon the scene and say, "Peace be still," and there's perfect peace no matter what the storms are in life. Don't ever forget that, my friends. Now, the Apostle Paul writes two more points concerning our blessed Savior. This breaks my heart every time I read it. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. Never forget this. Paul writes, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Who's the ungodly? Us. When we were without strength, that means we had no ability to recover ourselves from our state of sin. God sent His Son to die for us. He says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Paul said of himself in Romans chapter 7, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Paul flipped the mirror up and looked at himself. He says, "I'm amazed that God would care about somebody like me. I'm amazed that God would love something like me." Paul says, "I know what I have done. I'm amazed that God would love me, that the Father would send His only begotten and beloved Son in this world to die for somebody like me. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" His precious words that we must never forget is, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Savior, has delivered me from the body of this death." We must never forget what has been done for us. "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Never forget. There was a day that at about noontime, there were three crosses on a hill. Your beloved Lord was in the middle. And the sun went dark. When the sun went dark, the Son of God cried to His Father. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Paul writes, "For he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. I believe that in the moment that God turned out the lights, that Son was made to be sin for us. Tomorrow night, you will take communion. You will remember what He has done for you. You know, God told Abraham to take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, to a place, to the land of Moriah, to a place that I show thee, that will show thee, and there offer him. Abraham did that. He obediently took that son, but God stopped him. God would not require that man to take his son's life. But what God would not require of Abraham, the Father required of Himself. His only begotten and beloved Son. He suffered for to die, not for a good man, but for an ungodly people. And then, like Isaac, not a word of argument from Isaac as he was being prepared for the offering. The Lamb of God, listen now, the Lamb of God, the only thing that he said was on the night before he was crucified, he says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me." But that's not all he said. "But not my will, but thine be done." He says, "This is necessary. You've given me a people, a beloved people. You gave them to me before the foundation of the world." Ephesians 1 and 4. "And I love them with an everlasting love. And I'll not lose, not even one. No matter how decrepit they might be in this life, every one that you've given me, I'm not going to lose a single one." He went willingly to that cross. He, as they were nailing him to the cross, he was even praying for those who were nailing him to the cross. And then he gave his precious life. But before he did, he says, "It is finished." Never forget what has been done for you. You have been washed. Remember what Isaiah says? Let's quote it. Isaiah chapter 1, 18, I believe. He says, "Come now, let us reason together." Let's reason together. Let's talk through this. What's important to you in your life? What do you know that's important enough to share with other people? Come now, let us reason together. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they be white as wool." That is something good to reason about, isn't it? There's one more thing I want to touch before we close. Matthew chapter 25. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory," He is coming again, amen? Never forget, He is coming. We're told in the Scripture, Peter tells us, we're strangers here. We're pilgrims. This is not our home. In John chapter 14, on the night before He was crucified, the Lord told His disciples, He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Your place is prepared, my friends. Your home in heaven is prepared. It's an inheritance that you were predestinated to receive. Ephesians chapter 1. So he says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, when He shall sit on the throne of His glory, when before Him shall be gathered all nations, and they shall separate them one, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on His left, and then shall the king say," never forget this, "then shall the king say to them on His right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" We must never forget it. So, do you have a reason to call him Lord? Do you have a reason to call him Master? Do you have a reason to say, Lord, what would you help me to do? Do you have a reason to say, Lord, how can I serve you better? Do you have a reason to commit your entire life, no matter how difficult or how trying times might be become? Do you have something to tell other people? Because if they see you living in this kind of hope, and even in the midst of the valley of dry bones, when somebody sees you full of hope, resting in the promises of God, somebody's going to ask you for a reason of the hope that is in you. And we're to be ready to give them an answer when they ask the question. Amen.
Bless you.